This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Dr. Amantha Imber, who is the founder and CEO of a business called Inventium. Hi, Amantha.
Hi, how are you?
Now, we spoke a couple of years ago on this program. Perhaps you better tell us, remind us what Inventium does.
Sure. So Inventium is an innovation consultancy. So we basically exist to help turn people into better innovators.
Individuals or companies?
Look, we work with generally quite big companies, like from the banks to technology companies to building and construction. And we work with individuals and teams within those organisations.
So regular travellers would have heard you on this show a couple of years ago. But so bring us up to date. Has anything much happened in the past couple of years? You've just been plugging away?
We've been plugging away. We've launched some new products in that time. One of the things we've been working on for the last few months is an intrapreneur club. So actually celebrating Australia's intrapreneurs as opposed to entrepreneurs. So these are people within big companies that are, you know, fighting the fight for innovation and really leading it.
Oh, they have true grit, those people.
They certainly do. They've got so much resilience.
Well, because they've, you know, they're having to really fight against, I don't know what you'd call it. You tell me what to call it.
I think, like, you know, not only are you trying to understand what matters to customers, but you're also trying to navigate the internal politics that exist within these organisations. So it's kind of, two kind of battles, I guess, that they're facing.
So to what extent is your job in Inventium to reshape the internal politics of large companies?
Look, it's definitely part of our job. Like, one of the things that we work with companies around is creating an innovation culture, and we help unpack what does science actually show around what creates an innovation culture, and we help companies embed that internally.
What is it?
Well, there are some things that are not surprising, like an appetite for risk-taking and making sure that failure isn't seen as a dirty word, but also things like at an individual level, having a role that really challenges you. So if, for example, you work in a job where you could just do your job with your eyes closed, you're not going to innovate. But if you're working on projects that challenge you, you're going to be much more innovative.
Someone once told me that one of the keys to large companies having an innovation culture is to not have many meetings and to have a team go off and innovate and run a new project or something, but don't check in with them every week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and to have and to leave them alone for 3 months or something, and check back with them in 3 months. Is that right?
Well, that's definitely good advice. I mean, people's days are just littered with meetings, which is terrible. I mean, if you spend your day in meetings, when are you going to find time to innovate? I'm very anti the amount of meetings that take place in most companies.
So what do you and your team mostly do? Do you have meetings with companies kind of browbeating and telling them how to innovate or what?
Well, something that we do a lot of, for example, is building capability. So something we know about innovation is it's generally not a skill that you're born with. It's actually a skill that can be taught. So we spend a lot of time working with our clients, helping them get better at identifying customer problems that need solving and helping them be better at generating creative solutions to ideas and running experiments to test ideas quickly and leanly. So a lot of our time is actually spent doing just that.
And what about with individuals? Because you work with individuals as well as companies.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Yeah, look, we do quite a bit of mentoring and coaching of individuals. Again, just, you know, really sharpening their ability to be a better innovator and find new areas for growth for their organisation.
One of the things that you talk about is the need to take leave.
Mm.
Talk about that. What do you mean?
So something that we did at Inventium 2 years ago is we introduced a policy that was essentially unlimited paid leave. And this came from the fact that we are a management consultancy, and the consultants typically work pretty long hours and do a lot of travel and understandably get pretty tired with everything that involves. And I was reflecting on just how employment agreements work in Australia at the time, where essentially leave is capped at 4 weeks, but the amount of hours that people work are uncapped in an industry like management consulting. And I thought, wouldn't it be fairer and also more helpful to creating good work-life balance to have leave uncapped, just like hours are? So it's a policy we introduced 2 years ago.
I want that. That's great.
Come work that. For me.
How does that work? What do you mean it leaves uncapped?
So how
people
works?
Just take off for 6 months. Thanks very much.
Well, yeah, not quite. But how it actually works is that we've still got 4 weeks of annual leave, but we call this unlimited kind of extra leave, rebalance leave, where essentially it's something you take on top of your annual leave just to help rebalance. So if, for example, you've had a really stressful few weeks with lots of travel and lots of client delivery work, you might decide that you're going to take a long weekend or a week off. You know, even if you've got no annual leave left in the bank, so to speak, you can tap into rebalance leave to help rebalance you. And it's something that...
So is rebalance leave capped?
No, it's not. It's uncapped, as much as you need.
So, but you need your boss presumably to approve it.
No. It's kind of, I guess it's a almost like a self-monitoring system where if someone needs it, they take it. They'll check with their team or anyone that it's going to impact in terms of projects they're working on. But generally, team members are really encouraging of each other to take rebalance leave and they look out for each other. So, for example, if someone's had a really hectic couple of weeks, someone will suggest to that person inevitably, hey, you should take a rebalance day on Friday. And then they'll take it. Simple as that.
Do you suggest your clients that they do this?
Not all of them, no. I think it's very dependent on the culture that you have. I think a system like this of unlimited leave works really well when you've got a culture where people are very engaged and when there's a high level of trust and respect between managers and staff. And that doesn't exist in every organisation and doesn't exist in all of our clients, unfortunately.
Right. And does that just replace sick leave?
No. Sick leave is separate. So we deliberately kept it as something that is separate to sick leave and carer's leave and all those other sorts of leave. So, but interestingly, look, in terms of sick leave, which is a pretty good, measure of the health of a business and the health of staff, since implementing that policy, our sick leave has almost dropped in half.
I suppose it would in a way. I mean, people are feeling a bit crook, they'll take rebalance leave.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But it's interesting because I suppose what you're talking about is trust. Mm. The trust between team members and people, bosses and the workers. So, I mean, to what extent is trust important in innovation? And does rebalance leave actually encourage trust, which in turn encourages innovation?
Look, I think if there wasn't trust, I wouldn't have introduced rebalance leave. But there's a high degree of trust. I think the trust has to come first before a policy that is potentially a risky one. I mean, rebalance leave could go very, very wrong in companies where there's, where you've got like paranoid leaders who are worried about employees taking advantage. And certainly trust is important for innovation. I mean, innovation involves taking risks. And I think if leaders don't trust teams to take calculated risks when they're pursuing innovation, then innovation's going to get crushed.
Is innovation always good? I mean, are there some businesses that really should just get on with what they do and not innovate?
Look, I think if you're in a business that wants to grow in size or grow in the amount of impact that you want to have in the world, you have to innovate. I mean, the minute that you stop is the minute that one of your competitors comes to market with a groundbreaking innovation and has a very disruptive impact potentially on your business. So I don't think there's a choice. And I think most business leaders these days would, the question is not should I innovate, the question is how do I innovate?
Right. And so and the answer presumably is you've got to have an innovation culture.
You absolutely need that. And I think what a lot of people don't recognise is that there's science behind what creates an innovation culture and also what creates a good innovation program. Like a lot of people will trust their gut or they'll look at what Google or Apple are doing and they'll buy some colourful beanbags and put them in meeting rooms and think that's doing innovation. But it's not. There's a lot of science that we tap into at Inventium to understand, okay, what's been proven to drive innovation in a business?
Well, you guys, in fact, are all about science, right?
We absolutely are. We're a bunch of science geeks.
You're a bunch of science geeks.
Yeah.
And you yourself, is that what's your background?
I'm organisational psychology, so that's what I did my PhD in.
Right. And how many PhDs in your organisation?
Oh, look, we've had a few through, yeah. And then a lot of, master's level qualifications as well. We're a bunch of psychologists, engineers, MBAs, people that just love research and hate fluff.
Is it a partnership or is it owned?
I'm the owner. I'm the sole director. Yeah, yeah, and have been from day one.
And how many consultants do you employ?
We've got a team of about 15 between Melbourne and Sydney.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking to Dr. Amantha Ember, who's the founder and CEO of Inventium and the owner of it.